Welcome to our podcast, Raising the Aviation Bar. A Eurocontrol podcast that explores the stories of the people who are transforming European aviation. From the ground to the sky.
Hello, my name is Anita Zech, and in today's episode, we'll be talking to Pierre Depireux from our Central Route Charges Office and Finance Directorate about our key role to collect route and terminal charges from airspace users and then redistribute those to our member states and more precisely to their air navigation service providers. This is a vital service that ensures the liquidity of the European aviation ecosystem. Pierre and his team are responsible for this and other tasks, and we will be talking about the way forward for route charges, in particular the CRCO 2.0 roadmap that's part of our Eurocontrol 2030 Raising the Bar program. Thank you for joining us on this episode, Pierre.
Good afternoon, Anita, and thank you for having me here.
At the beginning of our podcast, we like to ask our guests about their upbringing and how they got to where they are in their career. Pierre, can you tell us about yourself and how you came to head the route charges office at Eurocontrol?
Well, my interest for aviation started at a very early age. I was born in the 70s, and at that time, flying was not as common as it currently is. And I remember as a child that I already had a real attraction for aircraft. I remember, for instance, going to the airport with my grandfather to pick up my parents coming back from holiday. And at that time, there was still an outside terrace overlooking the runways, and you could see the aircraft taking off and landing. And that was really fascinating. And I got a little book then illustrating the various types of aircraft. And I spent an incredible time browsing through that book, thinking one day I would become a pilot. But then, unfortunately, as a teenager, I developed myopia. And at that time, the saying was that if you didn't have a perfect vision, you couldn't become a pilot. So I didn't pursue my studies into that direction. But then in 1997, I was then working with the audit firm EY, Ernst & Young then. And I had applied on a number of jobs. And on the very same day, I was really spoiled for choice because I received two letters confirming that my application was retained. One was from the French luxury group LVMH, and the other one was from Eurocontrol. So it's been 27 years that I've been working for Eurocontrol. First, I started in the internal audit department. Then, after a few years, I applied for the job of manager of the pension fund. Then I joined the Central Route Charges Office something like 10 years ago, first as head of collection of charges, accounting and treasury. And then 2 years ago, in 2022, I took over the management of the Central Route Charges Office.
And now you and your team, you are responsible for the CRCO, the Eurocontrol Central Route Charges Office. Probably a good place to start for our listeners is if you could explain how the route charges system works and why it was created.
Indeed. I'll start with the purpose of the route charges system. The idea is to have a system that funds the cost of the services that the states are providing through their air navigation service provider to the aircraft operator. And the idea when the system was conceived in 1970 was to have a common charging policy all over the Eurocontrol member states. The system started operating on the 1st of January 1971, and there were then 11 member states in Eurocontrol, and it progressively grew to currently 41 member states. Every time a new member state joined Eurocontrol, it was integrated into the route charges system. So now we cover all of Europe geographically. The benefits of having that task performed at a central level is twofold, I would say. Firstly, there are cost efficiencies. The CRCO comprises a bit less than 60 staff members. And you can easily imagine that if 41 states had to bill and collect charges for their own airspace, that would require much more resources. And the second benefit is for the aircraft operators. It's much more convenient for them and effective to receive only one bill per month from Eurocontrol than to receive one bill from each state in which they have flown.
So how does it work concretely?
Well, the first step is the calculation of the cost of the services provided by the states. Obviously, this is regulated. States cannot charge whatever cost they want. The nature of the costs that can be charged to the aircraft operators is well defined. And we have a consultation process in place with the representatives of the airlines twice a year. And during that process, the states are presenting their forecast costs for the following year to the airlines representatives. And this process results in the adoption of a unit rate of charge for the following year. And each state has a different unit rate of charge. And we'll get into the calculation details a little bit later, I guess. Then, as the flights are taking place, the states are communicating flight messages to the Central Route Charges Office. A flight message is actually a structured message which describes the route flown, the registration of the aircraft used, and the identification of the aircraft operator. And based on these flight messages, we are calculating the individual route charges due for each flight. And once a month, we aggregate all the charges due for the previous month. And we issue a bill. One bill per month per airline, per airspace user, for all the flights that they have done during the previous month.
So how exactly do you calculate how much an aircraft operator needs to pay in route charges for a certain flight?
Well, the charging formula is actually quite simple. It's based on three elements, the multiplication of three factors. There's a distance factor, a weight factor, and the national unit rate applicable in the airspace which is overflown. The distance factor is the actual distance in kilometers between the point of entry, or the departure airport, and the point of exit, or the arrival airport, in the national airspace. And we divide the distance in kilometer by 100. So, to put it with a simple example, each time you fly 100 kilometers, you are generating one unit of distance. And we calculate the distance for each national airspace overflown by a flight. The weight factor, the second element, is, this is getting a little bit more mathematical, the square root of the division of the maximum takeoff weight of the aircraft by 50. In other words, an aircraft that has a maximum takeoff weight of 50 tons will have a weight factor of 1. And to determine the route charge which is due for a flight, we multiply the distance factor, the weight factor, and the national unit rate. And we do this for each national airspace that has been overflown by the aircraft. And then we add the amount due to each state and we obtain the charge due for the whole flight. And the idea behind this formula was to achieve a balance between, on the one hand, the service provided by the states through the distance factor. The longer the distance, the more service states are providing, and the revenue-generating capacity of the aircraft through the weight factor. The higher the weight, the higher the charge, but also the higher the capacity to generate revenue by the aircraft operator. And the third component, the national unit rate, ensures the cost-relatedness of the charges. I mean by that the users are paying charges based on the cost in the area in which the service has been provided.
But besides the route charges system, Eurocontrol also collects other charges. Can you talk us through that service as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There are actually four main types of charges. There are route charges, which cover, as we've seen, the cost of the services provided while the aircraft is en route, so while the aircraft is overflying. There are approach charges, which cover the services provided in what is called the terminal navigation area, which is why they are sometimes referred to as terminal navigation charges or terminal charges. There are also communication charges over the oceanic region. And finally, there are airport charges, which cover the cost of the services which are provided on the ground. And Eurocontrol is involved in the first three types. Our main activity is indeed the billing of route charges, and that represents approximately 90% of the amounts that we are billing. But as the flight information that we have for the calculation of the route charges covers the whole of a flight from takeoff to landing, we have offered some 20 years ago to our member states the possibility to bill and collect terminal charges as well on their behalf. And over the years, we have had more and more member states opting for that solution because we can perform the calculation, the billing and the collection of terminal charges at a very low cost, since we have the systems in place, we have the staff in place, and we already have all the flight data required for the calculation of these charges. And currently, we have nearly half of the 41 member states of Eurocontrol for which we are billing terminal charges. Then we also have an agreement with Ireland to bill communication charges, which cover the cost of the communication services provided by Ireland over what is called the Shanwick Oceanic Region, which is an Atlantic Oceanic region that falls under the responsibility of Ireland. And finally, we're also offering our billing and collection services to states that are not member of Eurocontrol. And at the moment, we have three agreements, one with Morocco, one with Egypt, and one with Uzbekistan. And we are in contact with a number of other states for that purpose.
Okay, so long, long experience. The Central Route Charges Office has existed for decades, but it's also evolving. Our corporate program, Raising the Bar, Building Eurocontrol 2030, explains that with CRCO 2.0, which is the future Central Route Charges Office, we will take advantage of the latest digital technology to provide an even better service and customer experience. Can you share with us what that entails?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have two good examples of that recently with the implementation of two brand new digital portals that were implemented in 22 and 23. One for the aircraft operators, which is referred to as CEFA, the CRCO Extranet for airspace users. And the other one is for our member states, and it's called Aetna. And currently, all our interactions with the aircraft operators and the states are done through these digital portals. And to be a bit more specific and give you a few examples, the CEFA portal is used by aircraft operators to submit the details of the fleet they are operating, to download their bills. They can consult their accounts, they can file claims if they disagree with our bills, and they can consult general communications issued by Eurocontrol in relation to air navigation charges. As far as the Aetna portal that we have developed for the states, this portal is used by the states to upload their cost base for the setting of the national unit rate that we are using in the calculation of the charges. It's also used by the states to consult billing and financial reports, and it is used by the states to exchange flight information, the flight data that we are using for the billing, for the calculation of the charges. This is done also digitally through Aetna. And the approach that we took when we developed these two portals was, on the one hand, to cover all the exchanges that we have with our stakeholders with those portals. And on the other hand, we wanted to make the user experience as easy, as intuitive as possible. And I must say, since we have implemented them, we have received a lot of positive comments over these two portals. And we're now taking on board a number of suggestions for additional functionalities on both portals. And this year, we plan to deliver two upgraded versions by the end of the year. And the next step of our digital strategy will be the modernization of our financial applications. The aim is to replace our systems by 2025 by a new accounting and treasury tool with better reporting capabilities in order to have a more flexible approach to financial reporting to our member states and better meet their needs.
Lots going on there. You and your team are working with financial experts from civil aviation authorities and ANSPs in the so-called study group on route charges, mostly on the challenges and opportunities of the charging system. Can you tell us which priorities are currently under discussion in that group?
Yeah, Maybe a word of explanation for our listeners on the study group. The study group for route charge is an advisory body within the institutional structure of Eurocontrol, and it is composed of national charging experts from the member states. And one of the themes that we are currently discussing within this group is whether and how the charging scheme could contribute to the decarbonization of the aviation industry. And to be a bit more specific on this topic, aircraft manufacturers are currently working on the development of zero-emission aircraft, which will be fueled by electricity or by hydrogen. And the issue they are encountering with these aircraft is that for the same passenger capacity or cargo capacity as a kerosene-fueled aircraft, the electric and hydrogen-fueled aircraft will have a higher weight. And as the weight is taken into account to determine the air navigation charges, there would be a disadvantage for the zero-emission aircraft. And this matter is precisely what we will discuss this year in the study group to assess whether the charging scheme could be adapted, the charging formula could be adapted to accommodate the entry on the market of these new types of aircraft and to contribute to the decarbonization of aviation.
That's a really interesting aspect. I'm afraid we're already coming to the end of our podcast, but as a last question, what would you encourage aviation organizations to do to work even better with Eurocontrol?
Well, we actually already have an excellent cooperation, I must say, with a number of associations representing airlines. They are attending the meetings of the governing and advisory body of the route charges system, and we have a very active participation from them. We also have bilateral meetings with the airline representatives, and I am very supportive of these exchanges, and I can only encourage their continuation.
That's very good. Thank you for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Anita.
And thank you to our listeners for joining. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe.
From the ground to the sky.